is Southside. Director of Directors, directly to your ears, Graham Harper, courtesy of Southside.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Graham Harper, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Just a selection of the many applause that'll be greeting us when we do a terrific trio, whammy, Peter, Paul and Mary in many ways, Graham Harper, Alex Lefchuk and Michelle Munro at the Reference Library next Saturday. We will actually be almost, we'll be an hour from our performance time, curtain up in let's say 169 hours from now, actually, Graham, or even less if you're listening to this on the podcast. We will be there. Fantastic.
So I'm so shy.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am. I'm really looking forward to going back to Middlesbrough because I actually like it very much.
Though. Exactly. Well, I mean, you see, Steel River Blues broadcasting marathons within Southside. You know, it's a whole. It's of course, you know, equidistant between Edinburgh and Lincoln and London and all the rest of the bits and pieces. So it's nicely positioned from that perspective, which is great stuff. Meanwhile, of course, you're currently in Manchester working on a series which, if I just said. Which is, I think, all we really need for that opening thing. I could tell that there was a slight query when we actually went back and we heard those opening little bars coming through there. But once it starts off, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da... It's a classic. It's what brought the kitchen sink drama into the 20th century and, indeed, into the 21st century now. It just keeps going and going. How's it been going for yourself, Graham?
Anniversary, the live part, which I'm not doing, but I've been offered three episodes as the 50th anniversary big action piece, which I think is going to say goodbye to some people. Isn't that wonderful?
Not one, not two, but three parts of the Coronation Street 50th anniversary show is going to be brought to you by Graham Harper. Is it any surprise? I mean, I can almost hear the gnashing of Stephen Moffat's teeth in Cardiff as he's thinking.
I don't think so. Oh. I think not.
You know, that could have been us could have been signing up for that routine. So, I mean, I know we talked in interesting terms about the EastEnders live piece. So actually, did you not fancy going live, Graham? Did you not sort of think, yeah, let's go live as well?
I just don't think it's me at all, the live television broadcast. I think I just don't need that desperation, thanks very much. But there are some people who love it, who thrive on it.
Well, absolutely. I suppose you just think of it as like theatre, but with cameras, really. You know, it's a different area from that point of view. Well, obviously, we'll work our way through that whole process in between sounds. But congratulations on that, and rightly so. Congratulations on Curry. Moving on, I know you can't give anything away, but when are we likely to be seeing the episodes you've recently been working on? Because I know you said one was a funny story, one was a more serious story, but they're both going to be good. When do they come out?
And that will be out 6 weeks from now. So it's actually 6 weeks from today, from Monday. So that must be September, mustn't it?
We mustn't wish our life away, because otherwise people will try to remember the kind of September when life was good and etc. etc. I always felt a sort of little monoroma. I don't think I ever did actually try to remember the kind of September etc. Oh well, love the show, then do the tour. According to the Daily Mail, apparently from Barry Island to Hogwarts to Bridget Jones's local boozer, you can walk in the footsteps of your favourite stars by signing up to one of these official TV and movie tours. Now, let's go to Doctor Who, because clearly you're aware of that, but fans of the cult sci-fi series can go on an intergalactic tour that starts in London and follows the Time Lord to Wales, where the show is filmed. Watch old episodes on the luxury mini coach before getting off in Cardiff, where you'll meet Cybermen and Daleks at the Doctor Who exhibition, and after a visit to the store where sidekick Rose Tyler worked, and the village that's a location for new assistant Amy Pond's home, it's on to a Doctor Who reenactment, and you're invited to come in costume. The tour lasts 10 hours and costs £65 for adults and £55 for children. Other tours are offered for Gavin and Stacey, Harry Potter, James Bond, Notting Hill and Bridget Jones. What ideal tour would you consider, of the many shows that you've actually worked on, Graham, where would you like? I mean, can we see a Heartbeat tour? I mean, we've talked recently with Mike Pannett, who's produced a range of books for You're Coming With Me, Lad, and Not On My Patch, Lad. We spoke to Ken Kitson from Last of the Summer Wine, who's looking to actually bring the Last of the Summer Wine to the stage in Scarborough, as well as actually doing an interesting cowboy western. And in fact, had he not already signed up a director, I would have said, Graham's your man. But now, you know, we'll sort of through on that. So what sort of thing would you like to see a tour of, Graham? Would it be, you know, the joys of backstage or the House of Elliot scenario? I mean, I just think it's a whole new world there, where you can actually step in the footsteps and see the locations where your favourite stars and shows have been filmed.
I guess, to be honest, something like District Nurse would have been a wonderful one, because the part of Wales that was shot in was very grimy at one point, but now, because of the closing of all the coal mines, which is particularly for the work side of it, but the actual area is being kind of rejuvenated, and what used to look like a quite robust but dark and dingy coal miners' cottages are now actually very pretty and picturesque villages.
That's it. Perhaps we should start the campaign to bring back District Nurse. You know, have any of the episodes with Nerys Hughes been released on video or DVD, I should say?
Oh, I think they were. I don't know about whether you can get them now, but they were. You were able to one time, probably about 15 years ago. I don't think there's any court there anymore, which is a shame, because I thought they were really good.
I mean, there'll be folk who might be listening to this very piece who might sort of think, Nerys Hughes? Who's he speaking of? And I say the Liver Birds, and they'll say Carla Lane, and I don't know. It's interesting, that sort of fickle nature. I was talking with Stephen Machat earlier this week, actually, the God's Gangsters and Honour person, who was up at the Berwick Hills Library talking about his time with Frank Sinatra and P. Diddy and Phil Collins, because actually Stephen was responsible. Do you remember 25 years ago when we were just kicking off our respective sort of, your directorial career was getting into full force? I was doing a few radio items and so on and so forth, and we had Live Aid, and Phil Collins actually used the Concorde to actually travel from Wembley Stadium to Philadelphia to perform on the same day. Well, Stephen was responsible for that, and you can hear more about that on the Stephen Machat podcast. But he was sort of saying that, you know, the fickle nature of fame, you know, people just forget so quickly, really. Do you find that, Graham, sometimes? You're working with actors who think, so, Derek Jacobi, what have you done then? Eh? You know, and so on. Never mind. Life continues. Listen, I've got to ask you another question, because I know you're a keen Arsenal football follower. Thierry Henry has gone to New York. Cesc Fabregas looks as though he's staying, but what was the Graham Harper's considered opinion on the World Cup and the World Cup final in general? Because when we last spoke, actually, Graham, you know, we were all getting behind Signor Capello. It was Fabio Capello as opposed to Failio Capello. It was Alfa Romeo Capello. You know, it's all, you know, and yet it just didn't quite manifest for the lads. So what were your thoughts? Did you think, well, that's okay, and at the end of the day, it was good to see that Holland can actually mix it large and have it large, like some of the best of them? Or how did it go for you?
I thought Germany and Holland were the most exciting of all the teams that I've watched. I think I watched all the matches. They were the two teams that shone, not Spain. And I thought Spain were pretty... I thought it was a very boring finale. Yeah. It was a final. I just thought it was deadly boring, very cautious, no excitement whatsoever. I think people, in English terms, what the bleed hell are we doing with an Italian manager? And spenders are pretty grim too. I just find, you know, if we're going to fail, let's have an English manager.
All I can say, Graham, is, isn't it wonderful, though, that actually it's indistinguishable to actually tell the difference between Fabio Capello and Postman Pat? You know, they are one and the same. You know, clearly, Postman Pat...
I think Postman perhaps more successful with the English team. I just find, I know he's very popular and very, very famous for being brilliant. I don't see why we have to have him. Why do we have an Italian for an English national football team? I just find it ridiculous.
Well, can I throw this one into the mix then? How about, you know, possibly Ian Holloway becoming manager of Italy, perhaps? You know, as a possibility.
It would never happen.
And of course, you know, there was that. Well, two things that were sort of wrecked to a large extent. One, of course, the fact that a team has never gone on to actually win the World Cup final after losing its opening match, and of course, Switzerland beat Spain. And the other one, which may change, that you know, no country has ever won the World Cup without a manager that's actually been from that country originally. But never mind. It was a brave affair. And let's look at the happy memories. We had the glorious might of a 0-0 draw with the fantastic Algeria, and of course the fantastic result of beating the combined forces of Slovenia by 1-0. And if only we'd had goal line technology, it could have been totally different against the Germans. But there we are. I see you've gone very quiet.
I also think what's the goal line? What's all that about? I mean, that is the safest way to prove whether a goal went in or out. Mm. Or if, why is there a fuss about, oh, we must, you know, shall we have it, shall we have it? We should have it.
Exactly.
And then there can be no dispute, and any when the referee can call for that, and we can have a look, and then they can all shut up.
After all, they have technology in tennis, they have it in rugby, why not football? It's just a thought.
Because there's too much at stake financially, and I think it's rigged. You know, they say that a lot of horse racing is rigged. I think football, there's an aspect of it that's rigged. That's the only reason I can think of, that it spoils the rigging of a football match, because if you have goal line technology, you can't rig it.
Sepp Blatter, Michel Platini, involved possibly with rigging. Clearly, the views that are made by some of our contract correspondents we can't possibly endorse on Southside, but you could have kicked...
Are you talking about me?
That, well, there could be all sorts of...
They're my thoughts, they're not your thoughts.
Exactly.
I'm being facetious. I'm not saying that's the truth. I'm just saying, why are they humming high about goal line technology? Mm. That's just the only way to prove whether something happened or didn't happen. So if they're not worried, if they don't want it, or they're worried about it, there must be a very, very good reason. What is that reason? Well, it has to be to do with we can't control the games to make sure that some other team has a chance of winning. That's all I can think of, because it must be, everybody will be opening, you know, grabbing it with open arms. Otherwise, sorry, I'm waffling on.
I
find it extraordinary.
It's an interesting and fascinating thing that you've just raised there, Graham, and I'm sure it could well open. Once again, Graham Harper put his finger on the pulse of what could be a huge sort of controversial scenario for that. Now, next Saturday, of course, we've talked about, obviously, yourself and Michelle will be with me at the Middlesbrough Reference Library. At the same weekend as actually Ragley Hall are hosting the CLA Game Fair. And I'm often sort of tempted to say maybe we should actually touch base at the CLA Game Fair as well and do a location report on the Sunday. We'll talk about this during the course of the week. But what are you most looking forward to about doing a general sort of chat with Michelle Munro and myself? Because I feel as though this is my attempt, our attempt, let's be honest, Graham, this is our attempt to fill the void left by Jonathan Ross leaving the BBC. I think we can next week with yourself and Michelle Munro and myself actually provide the entertainment, the general family fun and the interest factor that the BBC have been lacking for such a long time.
I think a discussion about Matt Munro and the effect and the impact he had on the world, the entertainment world, I think would be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that, and also to meeting Michelle. I haven't read her book. I'll make sure I get a copy so I can read it.
Excellent. Well, I'll say it here because it's going out to the world via podcast and indeed, obviously, through our cable service as well. But I consider Michelle Munro's biography of her father, Matt, the singer's singer, my book of 2010. So there we are.
Brilliant.
I think it's really good. So I did. So very well, a lovely sort of snapshot of a period of the entertainment business, the business of show, that who knows whether it'll return, whether it'll be a different incarnation, how things actually operate, but a really fascinating sort of insight into professionalism and maintaining that, and much like yourself, Graham, in many ways. Because obviously, let's face it, it's not obviously Michelle will be featured, but we'll be talking about your own experiences and passages through Doctor Who, Robin Hood, the Royal Stealer of a Blues, etc., etc., and probably just sneaky little bits about Coronation Street will be worked in as well. So it's going to be an interesting line to do. Sort of just adjust with that. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be sensational. I think we'll sort of base up that. And again, a reminder: tickets still available. Only just though, but it's £3. Middlesbrough Reference Library. Graham Harper and Michelle Monroe. I'll be hopefully sort of emceeing and keeping things sort of sorted out in betwixt times. And it'll be like a live radio show, but without the music. Great. I think he's gone now.
That'll be nice.
There you go. So, Graham, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Very good, yeah.
Are you up for joining us again? Well, obviously, you'll be with us in 7 days from now, so hopefully, fingers crossed, you'll be back with us then. Fantastic. And the other crucial question is, and this is going to be a clincher, whereabouts in Manchester are you staying at present, by the way? I mean, you don't have to give the address away, obviously.
I have to tell you, right at this moment, I'm sitting on the coast, on the seaside, at Morecambe, because Bernadette came up for the weekend, and we've never seen Morecambe, and I'm looking at the sands where all those awful... unlucky people got caught out by the sea. And
of course.
When you look at it here, it's so beautifully gentle and peaceful.
Yeah.
You can't imagine that horror.
That's right, the tragedy of the winkle pickers. But in terms of...
I'm in Withington.
Yeah. Oh, well, there we are. But, well, just pass on to Bernadette our sort of thoughts that don't worry, things can only get better now that Domenech have actually left. And there is that sort of notion that at least France were worse than England. So, that's important in terms of team grouping and so on. I know it might be clutching at straws, but, it was a fact. Where France went out in the first round, we at least waited until the next round. Well, if you actually have a manager who uses astrology to actually pick your team, you're going to have challenges, let's face it. Or maybe not.
He needs an octopus.
Precisely my point. Paul the Octopus should be in charge of the England boys. It's just a thought. Anyway, Rolling Stones and Start Me Up. Postman Pat, in aid of, obviously, Fabio Capello, or Coronation Street? What would you like?
Start Me Up.
I think, actually, when consideration was given across the base, even though I could tell you were tempted by Postman Pat, at the end of the day, you've probably made the right choice. Happy trails, Graham.